Hello, everybody. Welcome to the one and the only, the Brad Gilmore Show on demand. It is, at the time I'm doing this, I think it's, what is it, the 29th or the 30th? 29th? Today is the 29th of, I just dropped my phone. Today is the 29th of December. Let me pick that up. I might need it to do this podcast because I actually wrote notes. Today is the 29th of December, 2019. We're rounding out the rest of the decade here in the 2010s. The 2010s is over. It's done. It's out of here. And I thought it'd be fun. You know, we've had such a cool season this year of the Brad Gilmore Show in kind of a return season after taking a lot of time off, trying to figure out exactly what I wanted to do. And then these kind of short form interviews fell into my lap, you know, kind of kicked off with Lola Monroe and then went into Crispin Glover and Greg Grunberg and Jamie Kennedy. And, you know, the list goes on and on. And I kind of found my niche now with that. So that's kind of going to be what the show's going to be going for, but kind of not. I have several big plans, I think, I want to do going into the next decade, going on, man, 10 years. 10 years of doing this. 10 years of doing online or podcast or on over-the-air radio. 10 years. Wow. That's crazy. It's kind of tripping me out. This whole thing started in 06, you know, really, when I think back to it, of, you know, me and Avery Davis from 2011, which I'm going to talk about here in a second. You know, he and I, you know, we met in elementary school. Then we had a buddy who we played baseball with named Clayton. And then we all decided that we were going to be a rap group and we recorded a song in my dad's. Dude, this is so crazy. We recorded a song. I think it was called Rags to Riches. I don't know, but that's a fire name. We recorded this song in my dad's truck with my cell phone at the time. This is before iPhones, too, so the quality was not great. This is 06, December of 06, and we were sitting in the driveway, though, at my grandparents' house in Houston, and we record this song, and the next thing I know, we're a group, and then, you know, that group turned into 2011. And then, you know, we toured all around the state and did a lot of cool things, signed a record deal, you know, put out four albums, something like that. We put out a lot of albums. And it was 2011 that led me to radio. I don't think people even know this story. So we signed this record label deal with a company called Space City Records. And the guy who ran the company or the record company was Chris Fulmer. And we were put on his radar by Kyle Hubbard, who's been a guest on the show a lot of times. And Kyle suggested that he sign us because we were unsigned. And so we signed to Space City Records on a one-year, one-album deal. And we were kind of put on this press tour, if you will. And we went on a show called Gunter the Band Hunter, which is just go Gunter the Band Hunter. So we're put on the show called Gunter the Band Hunter, and we do an interview. And the show was an online radio show on a network called Local Live Houston. And Local Live Houston was run by a guy named Jordan Pinnell, and Chris Shannon was his kind of number two over there. And so anyway, we did the interview. We had a lot of fun. We laughed. We joked. And then, you know, me and Trey and Avery and Tyler and Dallas, we were like, man, this would be really dope if we had our own, you know, radio show. And so Chris Fulmer worked with Jordan Pinnell, and he called us one day and said, hey guys, were y'all serious about doing that radio show? I think I can line it up. And so we were given, off that interview, we were given a show called, worst name ever, Spectrum Radio. Oh, that's not the one I wanted. Where's the one I want? No, that's not the one. There we go. It was called Spectrum Radio. Hit it again. And with Spectrum Radio, that's, you know, that was a show 2011 hosted, and that was in 2010. And then we finished our album, and we put out our album. I think it was in 2010, or maybe it was 2011. I think it was 2011. I don't remember now. I think it was 2011. Yeah, that sounds right. And we did the album. We did, no. I think it was late 2010. I don't remember. It was either late 2010 or early 2011. And anyway, we put out the album. We're doing the radio show. The guys kind of fall off with it. But I remember talking to Jordan. Jordan was like, man, you're really good at this. You should have your own show. And, you know, we talked about it. And then there was kind of an offshoot of Local Live Houston called Optimo Radio, which was like their all hip-hop station. And since I was like a primarily hip-hop guy at the time, you know, I wouldn't do any radio stuff or wrestling stuff or sports stuff. I was just really doing, you know, hip-hop. I was talking hip-hop all the time. So, boom, got on Optimo Radio. The Brad Gilmore Show started. It was all hip-hop all the time. And then we moved over to Local Live Houston. I was doing Tuesdays from 4 to 6 and then from 3 to 6. And then that turned into the Brad Gilmore Show at night, which was 9 to 11 or 8 to 10 Fridays on GMT Radio, 90.3 GMT, which was a whole different online station. I don't, you know, it's so funny. I never even asked. I did this show called the Brad Gilmore Show at night on GMT Radio, 90.3, but it wasn't on any FM station. And it wasn't over the air at all. It was just online, but they had like they gave themselves a frequency, 90.3. GMT. I don't even know what GMT stood for. But I remember I was doing that show, and then I was filling in on Mondays doing Swangas on Vogue's radio. Shout out to Polly Pop, the DJ, Big Face Fiend, and Super Dave. Yeah, that's right. That's what I said. Big Face Fiend and Super Dave and Polly Pop. And we were doing a show together. Talking about hip-hop, and they kind of brought me on as, like, the young white guy who knew about rap and would say outrageous things, which is kind of what I made a lot of my name off of because I watched Private Parts from the Howard Stern movie, and I got inspired by that. So that's why I was doing, like, three shows a week. I was really hitting it heavy, and then, you know, that led to doing the wrestling show. So, I mean, so I'm looking back now at my radio journey, and what's crazy is it's going on in February. I think it'll be 5 years. That can't be right. I think it is. I think it's 5 years I've been doing the radio show with Booker. Wow. Yeah, it was in February 2015. Yeah, it was February 2015, and it was Valentine's Day, or the day before Valentine's Day. It was like February 13th, and it was a Friday, and Booker T called me and he said, hey man, I'm doing this radio show. He had been doing it for like a month over at Sports Radio 610 KILT, like the oldest frequency in Houston. And he said, do you want to come on as my like social media guy? So I'd field questions, you know, on social media. He knew I was doing the Brad Gilmore show, knew I was doing the podcast. He was on the podcast. And so I originally told him no. Oh, I'm such an idiot. I told him no because I was just newly in this relationship with Farrah and my girlfriend Farrah, who, you know, we're celebrating our 6-year anniversary here in a couple days. And we had Valentine's Day, and Valentine's Day is still very important to me. And at the time, it was like, you know, the end all be all. And I thought that I couldn't back out on Valentine's Day because I had reservations at Carrabba's. And so it was early in the morning that he called, and Booker's like, okay, yeah, never mind. Just forget it. I'm like, well, you know, hold on, Book. You know, just give me a second, right? And so I call Farrah. She's sleeping, and I call her. And finally she wakes up, and she answers the phone. And I'm like, hey, you know, Booker just asked me to do the radio show with him. I could be on the air, you know, but it's on Valentine's Day. Do you mind? And she's like, no, of course I don't mind. Do the radio show. That sounds great. And so I did that show with Book. And I think RVD was on that night, something like that. And anyway, that was the start of Heated Conversations, which kind of brings me to this year. This year, I wrote down like a list of a bunch of stuff that happened this year that I just thought was cool and I wanted to share. A lot of like big life and career accomplishments kind of came this year for me personally, 2019 did. And it was almost a culmination of a lot of hard work, you know, going back to Spectrum Radio. And so I wanted to kind of take a second to share with you. So I think that there's no better place to start than let's stay on the radio tip here for a minute, because I'll get into a bunch of stuff. I'm going to talk Schmodown. I'm going to talk a lot of wrestling. I mean, a bunch of stuff. So let's start, though, with the radio. So we start the year off. We're doing our show, Heated Conversations, on Sports Radio 610. We're doing a weekends 7 to 9, and we had just started hitting the stride. where we were getting really good guests. We had a lot of good interaction online, and I started saying, you know, Book, I don't know why we're not putting up clips from our show on YouTube. So I remember I went to the powers that be at Sports Radio 610, and I asked them, hey, you know, there were cameras already set up in the studio, and I said, Ryan McCredden, who was the program director at the time, I said, hey, man, like, could we use these cameras? And he was like, yeah, sure, you know, just run them. Figgy, who's still over there, who just got a promotion, shout out to Figgy. He was going to run the cameras for us, and Brandon Porter was going to run the producer side of things. So we were doing clips, and we were putting them up, and they were doing great. And then at around the same time, Booker and I built out a radio studio, and this was like end of 2018. We built out a radio studio inside the World Gym Arena, which is where we had the reality wrestling shows, and we were shooting in there a lot. And so I started filming just little things with my cell phone, just with my phone. And I'd film like little stories or clips or something from the show that I thought was interesting. And I started just uploading them on YouTube. Well, lo and behold, like it was right around the time that, I don't know. So this was end of 2018, beginning of 2019. So like there were a lot of rumors about this AEW was starting, and the All In show had just happened. There was a lot going on in WWE and MMA. So I started just recording these clips of the show and putting them up, and then they started like really getting, you know, pretty big following. And I think we had like 20,000 subscribers at the time on YouTube. I mean, which isn't anything to scoff at, but isn't like great considering we'd been doing it for a couple years. And the clips started really picking up. So I called Book, and you know, I was like, man, you know, we need to start putting out more clips. And you know, he saw what it was doing. I was talking to Kevin Bernhardt, who's the producer, executive producer, and director of Reality Wrestling. And you know, he's like, yeah, keep doing it. So I kind of like manned the channel a little bit, and Kevin and I were splitting duties. And I started just putting up all these clips, and they started really catching on. So we were becoming the hottest that we had ever been at this time on Heated Conversations, Sports Radio 610. And the new year had started, and we were like, man, this is a great time to go in and sit down with Ryan. And I remember we had an interview with Derek Lewis, the UFC fighter who's going against Daniel Cormier for the heavyweight championship. We did a phone interview with him. Boom, we knocked it out, and then we were leaving. We saw Ryan, and then he was like, hey, you know, let's sit down and talk about the future. And then we got the news that Ryan actually, unfortunately, got let go, which happens in radio all the time. I mean, especially, you know, at the time of CBS, it turned into Intercom, and Intercom was really trying to change a lot around there. And a lot of times, it's just like, you know, if an owner takes over a team, they want to change the coach, and they want to put their guy in. And I think that's kind of what it was. And they got a new program director over there, and we were like, okay, cool, let's go meet with the program director, the new one, and introduce ourselves. We kind of said what we wanted. We wanted more time. We wanted more exposure. And then when, in any industry, especially radio, when people hear there's changes going on, you know, conversations are had, and we left Sports Radio 610. We, you know, unfortunately, we did 199 podcasts with them. We were scheduled for our 200th show. We didn't get the opportunity to do it. Really wanted to do that 200th show. It was really important to me. But we didn't get a chance to do it. We were taken off the air before that, and we signed the deal with ESPN 97.5, the worldwide leader in sports. ESPN made the overture to us, and they gave us everything that we wanted. They said, you know, boom, you know, a little bumping Pararuski, you know. And also, you know, we'll put you on 3 nights a week, and we'll give you, you know, 2 hours a night. And it was like, whoa, this is everything we wanted. Because at Sports Radio 610, we were like 1 to 2 hours, and only on Saturdays. So we were kind of tucked away, and it really felt, and I think Booker and I had this conversation a lot, it really felt like you had Tom Brady on the bench. And it's like, why not put him in the game? Like, he can get you points. He can get you ratings. And so that, and then eventually we were put in the game, and we started on ESPN, and that was really cool. We started in March, and it was kind of surreal. And that's when we hooked up with Jerry Bowe. And I remember, right around, I mean, this is all happening at the end of February. And you got to think, like, it's moving quick. Like, you know, our PD gets let go. New PD is hired the next week. We're on the air the following week. Then we have conversations the week after that. And then the week after that, we're having another meeting with, you know, the people at Sports Radio 610. And then we're trying to, I mean, there's a lot going on. And then It was like a week after we left Sports Radio 610 on our terms, which I got nothing but love for everybody over there at 610. Like, literally nothing but love. I mean, there's so many talented people over there. Landry, John, Sean. I mean, so many talented guys. Figgy, of course, my guy Figgy. I don't know if Boudreaux's still over there, but I'm hoping that he is. And Brandon Porter. I mean, a lot of those guys, man. They're all cool. Other Brandon BMAC. Shout out to all those guys. Laura, of course, in the office. I mean, everyone was so cool over there during our time there. And I really appreciated everything that they did. And I want nothing but success for those individuals. Especially, like I said, shout out to Figgy on his new promotion. But, you know, we left over there, started on ESPN. But right before we did, I remember got a call from Book. And we were actually on the phone. And he said, hey, man, I'm getting a phone call. Let me call you back. I was like, okay, cool. And then he calls me back, I don't know, 5-10 minutes later. He's like, hey, man, guess what? I was like, what? He goes, they're putting me in the Hall of Fame again. I was like, what? He goes, yeah, man, Harlem Heat's going in. I was like, you're kidding me. And Booker got inducted in 2013 was his first Hall of Fame class. And I remember I just started with Reality Wrestling. I was there maybe 4 or 5 months. And I remember I wanted to go, but I didn't know Booker that well. I mean, I was just the ring announcer at the shows. He was pretty cool. I tried to kick it with him as much as I could at the gym, but you know, I didn't go. And I told him, I'm like, man, I'm going to be in the building this time because, you know, we had built this rapport over the several years doing the radio and everything. And so I was so happy for him. And so anyway, when we were leaving, there were some, like, you know, whatever, paperwork things that maybe could have potentially precluded us from using the Heated Conversations name. And so Booker was like, man, we should change it. And I loved the name because, I thought of the name. I thought, man, you know, Harlem Heat, Heated Conversations. It sounds like a great radio show. And Booker had this idea of putting people in the heat seat, which I always loved. And I loved that name. I thought it was a perfect name for our show. He's like, no, we should change it. And I was against it at first. And I was like, okay, if we're changing it, let's change it. And I wonder if I still have the list. So I started writing a list of all the potential names for the new radio show. And I was trying to think of what to call it. I wonder if I still have this list. And so, I mean, I was coming up with a lot of stuff. And some of them were not good. Or a lot of them were not good. But, you know, I was trying to play off of the, you know, the concept of Heated Conversations. Let's see. I got to have it here somewhere. That's a Heated Conversation. I write all my notes on my iPhone, so bear with me. No. Radio show names, I do. So I don't have a lot here, but this was written on February 19th, 2019 at 8:58 p.m. So these were my ideas for the names. Heated Conversations, The Heat with Booker T, The Heat Seat with Booker T, Extra Hot, Houston Heat, The Shoot. These are all my names, you know. And I think Booker had one. I can't remember what it was, but it was like, it was something based off Heat 2, like Even Hotter. They're all just not good. Anyway, so after he got this call about going into the Hall of Fame for the second time, I started thinking, I was like, oh, you know, what if we did something like based on like on that? I was like, what if we're the Hall of Fame? What if that's the name of the show, the Hall of Fame? And we were like, yeah, man, that sounds pretty cool. And I called Booker, and Booker's like, let me run it by Charmel. I call Farrah. I'm like, hey, what do you think about the Hall of Fame? And I even pitched it to Booker, like, we could say, you know, instead of welcome to Heated Conversations on Sports Radio 610, I'm Booker T and Brad Gilmer, whatever, we could say, welcome inside the Hall of Fame. Or when a caller would call in, hey, caller from California, welcome inside the Hall of Fame, what you got, right? And then I had this idea where we could induct things into our own Hall of Fame. Like, there was all these ideas. And so Booker was like, yeah, man, let's go for it. And then we pitched it to AJ Hoffman, who's a program director over there, and Todd, who is the general manager at Gal Media, and they liked the name, and so boom, we were off to the races. And we started our first show with like a 45-minute interview with Chris Jericho, who had just announced that he'd signed with AEW, and we were off to the races. And that was kind of our start with ESPN, and so many cool things spawned off of that so quickly, too. Is like, you know, we started ESPN Radio, and we had a lot, like I said, we had the Chris Jericho on, we had a bunch of cool things on, and I remember we were going to go do StarCast. Conrad Thompson was throwing his, I think it was the StarCast 2, I think it was the second StarCast, or third? I think it was the, I don't remember. I think it was the second one. And it was in Las Vegas, Caesar's Palace, and got the call that we were going to do it live on stage from Caesar's, so that was a really cool experience. And I remember going to StarCast, walking all around Caesar's Palace, and having conversations in the back where this was a really surreal moment of I'm standing over by, like, we're in this, like, little meeting room, and I'm getting, like, a water and, like, a granola bar or something like that, and I'm talking to Ernest the Cat Miller, of all people, and then I get a tap on my shoulder, and I turn around, it's Tony Schiavone, legendary voice of WCW. He's now the lead play-by-play announcer for AEW, All Elite Wrestling, on TNT, and he taps me on the shoulder. He's like, hey, Brad, can I go over something with you for a second? I was like, yeah. Sure, Tony Schiavone. And so Tony Schiavone gathers me and Booker kind of in a corner, and he has a layout that's got, you know, the plans for the show and how our live show is going to run, because it was live on Fight TV, and it's on the Reality Wrestling YouTube channel right now. And I remember Tony Schiavone being like, all right, Brad, we're going to introduce you first. You come out, you introduce Booker, blah, blah, blah. I was like, man, this is crazy. Tony Schiavone's giving me the rundown. And then while we're waiting to be called, Booker and I are talking to Arn Anderson, and we're talking to Conrad Thompson, talking to X-Pac back there, Sean, who's always a pleasure to see. We were talking to Taz. We had, Taz and I and Booker were talking about, you know, the radio life and what is it like being in radio and stuff. I mean, it's just all these really crazy experiences. And I remember I flew to Vegas that morning, went straight to Caesar's Palace. I was already dressed in my suit. Did the show live with Booker, unscripted, 90 minutes. It was so great. We're standing in the gorilla position to go out there and to do this show. And I turned to Book and I'm like, hey, I mean, literally we're like 3 minutes, 2 minutes to air live. This is live. And I turned to Book and I'm like, hey, what are we going to talk about? And he was like, I don't know, we'll figure it out. And then we went up there and we did 90 minutes unscripted, Booker and I, just back and forth. And it was such a cool experience. And I remember we did the show. The show was like at like 11 in the morning. We went to about 1:30. I went down to the StarCast floor, hollered at my guys, Telly and Matt, from Title Match Wrestling and Flag Sports. They were doing a lot of stuff promoting that brand over there at StarCast. And, you know, I hollered at them for a second. And then I left. I left Vegas that night, like literally an hour or two later, and went right back to Houston. Like, I was like, I'm done with it. Because I've visited Vegas over the last 2 years more than I've visited any other city, and I was ready to get home. So that was just something cool, though, that spawned off of this Hall of Fame. And that's when we really started getting a lot of buzz. And then our YouTube channel started going on fire, and we got 100,000 subscribers on YouTube. And when I kind of like, I didn't take over the YouTube at all, but like I started like putting up clips and really keeping an eye on it and trying to turn it into a profitable channel. And my goal was I want to get 50,000 subscribers for the end of the year. I mean, that's more than doubling the subscribers we have now. It seems like a feasible goal. And dude, I mean, it was, I don't know, in September, I think it was, you know, within 8 months, 9 months, we got up to 100,000. So double my goal. And then now we're sitting here at the end of the year where I had like 183, 184,000. So almost quadrupling my goal of that 50,000. And to get the plaque from YouTube was always something cool. Because I watch YouTube all the time. So, and I always see the, you know, guys like Sam or oh, what's my guy who I listened to? The gray-haired, bearded guy who talks MMA. Luke Thomas? Luke Thomas? Yeah, I think Luke Thomas is his name. He's got it in the background. So I would see these plaques. I'm like, man, I want one. And now I have one. So that, I mean, that was another really cool thing that happened. And then with ESPN, we got to go to the Manny Pacquiao-Keith Thurman fight. We got to go to the Errol Spence Jr. versus Sean Porter fight in L.A. Got to go Deontay Wilder, Luis King Kong Ortiz, and I think we're going to be going to that
Deontay Wilder, Tyson Fury, 2 fight. Oh my goodness. So anyway, a lot of stuff was happening. And then I remember when Booker was going in the Hall of Fame, I flew to New York. It was in WrestleMania was in New York this year. And it was super sweet because I've only been to one other WrestleMania, and it was one other WrestleMania, like the actual show. And that was WrestleMania 32. I participated in the Radio Row for WrestleMania 34. That's where I met my good close personal friend Macaulay Culkin, who said he was a fan of the show. Shout out to Macaulay. And so that was the only two I've been. So I went out there to do the Hall of Fame, of course. That was my go see Booker get inducted in the Hall of Fame, not the radio show. And went out there, and I remember the Hall of Fame ceremony was so long, man. And I think we were staying at the Marriott Hotel. And I remember going up to my room, and I was on the elevator, and someone came on. It was Finn Balor. And Finn Balor and I talked for a little bit about the how long the Hall of Fame ceremony was. Because, I mean, they tried to cut it down, but it was long. And, of course, there was the incident that happened with Bret Hart where a fan rushed the ring and tackled Bret. And then he got the ever-loving crap beat out of him, which is like old-school wrestler code of you mess with us, we mess with you back. There's my notes. And so I remember seeing that live and thinking, what the hell is going on? They just attacked Bret Hart. And so, I mean, everything was crazy. And then I went to the actual WrestleMania 35. And, I mean, Kofi Mania, I'll never forget. I was standing there watching that match, which was the match of the night. Stole the show. And I'm thinking, there's no way Kofi's not going over. And I'm sitting there with Booker's wife and his kids. Booker's in the back. Doing some, we're in this suite with like the reps from Coca-Cola, and like a lot of the names were up there, you know, sitting and watching the show. I actually think I was like in the background of the pre-show that year, and I'm watching this Kofi Kingston match, and he hits him with the boom, Trouble in Paradise, 1, 2, 3. The place, what, 80,000 strong, at least 75,000-80,000 people stand at their feet. Everyone's screaming. Charmel hugs me. I mean, hugs me tight. And she's in tears. I mean, in tears. And I get emotional because I understood what the experience meant for a lot of people, right? What the moment meant. It meant a lot for me. But I can't appreciate the same way Charmel or Booker or any, you know, anybody who's African American who forever watched the WWE and never had the WWE champion. And you know, obviously Booker was world champion, Mark Henry's world champion, The Rock was a world champion, but some people like say, well, you know, he's Samoan, he's not like full, I mean, you know, but Kofi, I mean he's Ghana, West Africa, African-American, been with the company forever, had that crowning moment. It meant a lot to so many people. And it was just a privilege for me to be a part of it and just see that in person. I remember even going up to Kofi at the WrestleMania after party. And he's humble as all can be. And I just walk up to him and I dap him up. And I'm like, hey, man, that meant a lot to a lot of people, me included. You deserve it. That was the match of the night. And he dapped me up. He brought me in. He said, man, I appreciate that. I really appreciate that, brother. And, you know, I went up about my business, but that was so cool. It was just such a cool moment to be a part of. And what a Hall of Fame class, too. And then I remember there was a Thai restaurant called Thai Select, which Fer and I had. I was in New York earlier this year, and we had ate at earlier, and we loved it. So I went back there, and I remember sitting there listening to a podcast. It was actually, I think it was WrestleMania. Yeah, it was WrestleMania Sunday, and I was going to eat before I went to the hotel and got on the buses to go to WrestleMania with the friends and family. And I get a phone call from Booker, and I'm like, it's WrestleMania. Booker's calling a match. He's, you know, being announced in the Hall of Fame, and he's hosting the pre-show. I think he's going to be kind of busy, but he calls me. He's like, hey, man, guess what? I'm like, what? We got a big guest for the show. I'm like, oh, yeah? Who we got? He's like, Hogan. I was like, what? Hulk Hogan's coming on the show? He's like, yeah. And I'm like, oh, man, this is nuts. And, you know, everything. And here's the thing. Booger's like, yeah, and we're going to talk about everything. We're going to be super straight, keep it honest. And I defy anybody to go and find a better Hulk Hogan interview than what Booker and I did earlier this year. That was probably the best interview Hulk Hogan has ever done. And it was with Booker and I. And we were honest. We were real. We talked about the rise of his career. Talked about great successes. And then we talked about, you know, the elephant in the room, which was, you know, the racial stuff that happened to him back in 2015. And how that was kind of linked in with Booker. Because at the time, Booker was brought into it because of the whole controversy and what he did, his famous blooper on WCW television. So I defy anybody to go out there and find a better interview with Hulk Hogan than what we did. So anyway, I mean, that was kind of a lot of stuff that happened in the beginning of the year. And then, of course, the Schmodown took off and, you know, started NYC, flew out, hosted the pre-show. And there's another great, you know, thing. It's like Frank Janish and I, who's my co-host for the Schmodown, we're supposed to go out there and host the show. And I was told it was going to be 15 minutes. And I can do 15 minutes. I get my sleep. Like, I think we're like a half hour into this podcast. So I could do 15 minutes of my sleep, no problem. So Christian comes up to me, Christian Harloff, who runs the Movie Trivia Schmodown. If you don't know, if you're listening to this because you're just a wrestling fan or you subscribed to my podcast for a long time, the Movie Trivia Schmodown is like this wrestling meets movie trivia meets sports. And just go type in Schmodown in YouTube and just watch a couple episodes and you'll fall in love with it. If you're a movie fan, if you're a game fan, if you're a wrestling fan, like it's really got something for everybody. So Christian Harloff says, "Hey, man, need you to do 15 minutes." I said, "No problem." Start talking with Frank. I'm like, "Okay, we'll do this, whatever, whatever." And then he comes back and he says, "Hey, actually, I need you to do like 30 minutes." I'm like, "Okay, hey, no problem. Okay, 30 minutes, a little bit more than I thought, but hey, whatever. I'm here in New York. I'm here to work. What? Let's go." And then I'm there, and he comes up to Frank and I, and he's like, "Hey, guys, need you to do about an hour." It's like, all right, whatever. So we go out. We do the show. It was awesome. Dan Merle, Ethan Irwin had maybe the match of the year, really my match of the year candidate. We're going to find out here in a couple weeks at the Schmodown Awards, which I will be at. Your boy will be at. So I had such a fun time there, and then I'm like really jazzed up about the Schmodown. And while in New York, you know, Farrah and I celebrated our five-year anniversary there. Then it was in January, and we went to the Tonight Show, got tickets to the Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon, which was really, really, really dope. I wonder if I could find this clip. Jimmy Fallon, Tasty G. I wonder if I can find it. Probably not. Well, anyway, we went to the Tonight Show. How do you spell Tasty? Tasty. Gee, I don't know if I can find it. But anyway, we went to the Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon, which is really cool for me because I absolutely love the whole legacy of the Tonight Show because it for me it goes all the way back to Johnny Carson, which I idolized growing up, and I still idolize. And then I was a Jay Leno guy for a long time. I was, man. I hate to say it. I was a Jay Leno guy. I even got a signed, autographed picture of Jay Leno in my studio right now. I mean, I love Jay. I grew up on Jay, really an everyman's comic. So I love this Tonight Show, and I thought that Jimmy Fallon was the closest thing to a Johnny Carson-like type that I had seen since Johnny. So I was really jazzed up to go there. And then I remember he was doing this freestyle session. And he was asking for suggestions from the audience. And of different things that he could rap about. And I remember, I don't know why, I was yelling out Texas at the top of my lungs. And he ended up going with it. And his freestyle was about cheese, pickles, and Texas. And I'm trying to find it. I just don't think that I'm going to be able to find it this quickly. Maybe I should have prepped a little bit more. No, can't find it. It doesn't matter. But he used my suggestion. So I thought that was cool that I, you know, had a little bit of an influence on the Tonight Show in a very small way. But there's just so many cool things that happened. And it was after that show in New York with the Schmodown that it was like the next month during that rise to Kofi Mania, there was the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view in Houston. And I remember seeing Lio Rush come out to the ring. And I hadn't seen Lio really wrestle all that much. I just knew that he was the Bobby Lashley. The almighty Bobby Lashley, right? And Lio Rush comes out, and I saw his Titantron, and it said, Man of the Hour, the Moth. I'm like, oh, that's pretty dope. Like, the Man of the Hour. That's pretty cool. And it spells something. You're the Moth. You're the Man of the Hour. I mean, it reminded me of the GOAT, the greatest of all time, right? LL Cool J made it up. The GOAT. And I was like, man, that's cool. And then I started thinking at that moment. I was sitting with Kevin Bernhardt, and I was thinking, man, what could I do? What could I do? I mean, I like that. I would like something like that. Because forever my gimmick had been the entertainment world champion. And it's something that I had done back in my days of hosting clubs where it's like, y'all are talking to the dress shoe wearing, Ric Flairing, good hair having, entertainment world champion. I'm the best thing that happened since you came out the womb. Can I get a woo? You know? See, look at that. Made me cough. And so I was trying to think of something like that. And I was sitting there watching. And then I was thinking, okay, you're the GOAT. I mean, what is there anything of all time I can do? And then I was thinking, of all Texas? Because I saw Killer Calleon, who's on, you know, first guest on the Brad Gilmore Show podcast. He did, like, it was called the Greatest of All Texans. That was his GOAT. I'm like, okay, so of all Texas, of all time, I mean, it's always good. And then I'm like, okay, well, you know, if you're the great, and then I started thinking, well, if you're the greatest, that means like people refer to you as the greatest. It doesn't mean like your legacy deems you the greatest. Like Michael Jordan is definitely the GOAT. It doesn't matter if LeBron passes him in every statistical category. Michael Jordan and the legend of Michael Jordan will always be referred to as the GOAT. He was the greatest ever to do it. Muhammad Ali, greatest ever to do it. You know, when you talk about home run hitters, you talk about Hammer and Hank Aaron or Barry Bonds or Babe Ruth, they're the, you know, greatest ever to do it. And that sort of thing, well, you know, great is almost something that is subjective. You know, it's not numbers-based. Greatness is not numbers-based. Greatness is not... It's not factual, you know, but you know what is factual is being the best, because you can say, look, my score was the best. I graduated at the top of my class. I was the best student. Like that is actually a tangible thing. It's not an opinion. And I'm like, oh man, that's something cool. Like it's not an opinion. If you're the best. And that's where I came up with the idea of calling myself the boat, the best of all time. And I started saying it on the Schmodown Rundown, the podcast I do with Frank Janish about the movie Trader Schmodown. And I remember I was cutting a promo on John Rocha, who was, you know, was the outlaw, he was one of the legends of the game. And I was like, you know, and he had said, I was like, I called in sick or I couldn't do the show for scheduling reasons or something. And so Rocha was like, hey, you know, man, where's Gilmore? He's, you know, calling me out a little bit. And so I cut a promo on him, and I said, you know, Rocha, you know, you're a good host. Some people might say you're the greatest host, but you're not the best host. You're not the best of all time. You're not the boat. And I worked it in there, and then people actually responded to it. So much so, I remember seeing comments of people saying, oh, boat, hey, what up, boat, whatever. And then I went to, I was talking to Christian Harloff, and we had this idea of coming down to Houston to do the Andrew Guy Ben Bateman match inside the wrestling ring at the World Gym Arena. And everyone was down for it. So I remember coming down here, and then Christian's like, well, hey, go out there and introduce us and, you know, whatever. Yeah, and I was calling the matches that night. So I went out there, and I said, ladies and gentlemen, and I said this on the beginning of every show when I run down to this day. I said, my name is Brad Gilbert. You might know me by another name. You might know me as The Boat, right? It's really like me being The Rock. I always thought The Rock was cool, that he could refer to himself as The Something. And that was also part of The Moth, The Boat, The Goat, The Rock, The Miz. Like, I always liked that. It's two syllables. It's easy, whatever. So I went out to the crowd, and I was like, you know, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Brad Gilbert, but you might know me by another name. You might know me as... And I stopped. I just wanted to hear if anybody said it. And not everybody said it by any means, but enough people said The Boat. when I stopped, it made me think, oh, I might be onto something here. And so I went ahead and kept it up. I kept the boat up. I thought that the boat could really sorry about that. I got a text message. The boat was busy. So I thought the boat could really connect with people. And so I kept doing the boat in Houston. And then just a couple weeks ago when we did the Schmodown Spectacular in L.A., we're at a theater in downtown Los Angeles. Full. I mean, I'm talking about maybe 400 people. I don't know. Something like that. But it's full. I mean, it's thick. And I went out there and I said, ladies and gentlemen, and I was hosting the pre-show again. I said, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Brad Gilmore, but you might know me by another name. You might know me as. And then I stopped. And the whole crowd said, the boat. I was like, oh, man, it worked. You know, it was eight, nine, 10 months of putting it in for that moment. I remember telling Farrah on the phone, I said, man, you know, it'd be so cool if I go out here on the Spectacular. I'm going to do it. I'm going to say, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Brad Gilmore. You might know me by another name. You might know me as. And then I'm just going to stop. And I'm going to see if they'll say it. And they did. And they did. So it was really cool. And, you know, it's funny. It's like now it's like an official nickname. And I know you don't give yourself nicknames. But, like, I did. And this one, like, was almost earned. And now even the players, like Dan Merle, who's the greatest player of all time. He is the boat. At Spectacular, he was like, hey, what's up, boat? How's it going, boat? And, you know, Ben Bateman, the new singles champion, was like, Frank, boat. And I'm like, oh, wow. Like, this is a thing now. And it's caught on. And it's cool. So I am the boat. My sister gave me a personalized mug or a what are those things called? Like a Yeti, a small Yeti. It said the boat's juice or something like that. But she wrote the boat on it, and she got me a tie that had anchors on it. You know, now people think of me as the boat. I mean, my girlfriend's sister Susan, shout out to Seuss, or as I like to call her, the Deuce. She wrote on my Christmas gifts. To the boat. So, I mean, it's a thing now. And I never thought in 2019 I'd get something like that over. It was pretty funny. So, I mean, the Schmodown has been so good to me. And then 2011, we came back this year. 2011, for those of you who don't know this, like I said at the beginning, it's how I got my start in this whole thing, was doing my band, 2011. And we were a hip-hop rap group. And I remember walking in, it was January, and Dallas was in town. Corbin Dallas had moved over to Los Angeles. So, you know, the recording sessions were few and far between. It was more of a passion project than a primary focus this time. But I remember I came in and I heard that Avery was at the studio, and I didn't know that Dallas or anyone else was there. And I walked in to the studio and Dallas was there. Trey was there. Motai was there. I think Motai was there. Maybe he wasn't. But Avery was there, and they had this record, and Dallas had already laid a hook on it. I was like, whoa, what? And so I was like, oh, okay. This could be something. And we started recording. And it was really a fun experience for me because music will always be a first love of mine, a passion project of mine. Like I said, I owe everything to music. I mean, check this out. This is Dallas here on the record. This was a record that we did this year called Too Much. Been through it all, a little good, but a lot of bad. Cause baby, I love it too much. I love it too much. To be honest, we don't trust enough. But I love it too much. And it keeps on breaking me down. I mean, listen to that man sing. And here comes your boy right here. First time I
got a glance at you. I knew I had to roll the dice, take a chance for you. I was like, hey, I gotta know a name. Soon as they said it, knew I never will forget it. Come with me tonight, I know you won't regret it. If your mind was a book, then I'd already read it. So I wanna grab your wrist and I gave you a little kiss. Now you've been by my side like everyday since. I got you that diamond with some carbon in it. And baby girl ain't have wrong with it. In fact, she walked all around and she modeled with it. She held it in her hands and she marveled at it. So when I get on, I'ma get her one clear. Get another foot neck, match the set for ears. A blanket rank fang, make her name disappear. Replace it with mine, I love you all the time.
And it keeps on breaking me down. I don't know how much more that I can take, but I'm afraid if I let it go now, I'll end up making the biggest mistake. Yeah, I love you.
Okay, I'm not gonna play the whole song. I just have it on in the background. But yeah, so we got to do that again. And then here's the coolest thing is when we were doing this stuff, like, yeah, you know, the little blogs would post our records and stuff back in the day. But then for this one, the Houston Chronicle, one of the biggest papers in the United States. This is my man, Trey. Hold on. I got to get my guy.
Last time I was at my damn mom, but this time I only want progression. And I ain't no ush, I ain't confessing. But I swear I let us burn. And ever since then, I've been on the deep end, telling me it's no longer a concern. But now I'm thinking about all my mistakes, how proud and I feel with us just being great.
You wanted the balance, but I had to wait.
Then I went and burned everything that was on stake. But you was always rare to me, made me the man I would never dare to be. And next time, swear, I'ma plan it carefully. Cause you're the only girl that I'm always scared to be with.
Hey,
but shit, I got what I deserve. You had a full plate, but I went for hors d'oeuvres. And who could imagine the drama I stirred?
I never would hit you, but you. Sorry, man. My dude, my man Trey's one of the best. He's worth the votes.
One chance, I'll show you that I could, girl.
Be the man that you always thought I would, girl. Oh, man. He got one of the best deliveries, like, I've ever heard. And I mean, I'm talking about, like, of any rapper ever. He's got one of the best deliveries ever. And it got debuted in the Houston Chronicle, which is one of the biggest newspapers in the entire country. I'm talking about top 10. And our record got debuted in that. So that was like another big, boom, personal accomplishment. And it was just one of those years, you know, where I found myself in a lot of these positions where things like that were happening. And then I still can't reveal exactly what it is. And I know I want to so bad, but it was like maybe May, April-ish. I was approached and or had conversations with, I should say. I mean, I reached out, they reached out and had conversations with a certain organization. And it's not WWE. I just want to put that out there. It's not the WWE. But I had conversations with this company and they reached out to me. I reached out to them. They reached out back and we had this dialogue or this conversation about a potential project. And next thing I know, I made this pitch. They liked the pitch. They signed off on it. They sent it back to me. They said, this is what we want you to do. Sign on the dotted line. And that project is nearing its completion stages, or it's definitely in the next phase. And it was another thing that's like, what? This happened? How did that happen? And it was another boat thing to do. So that I have to share with you probably in the next, I don't know, at least in the, I think in maybe the next month, I can reveal exactly what that is. And so I hope that I'm able to do that here soon because I'm really excited about it. So those are the things that were happening to me. And I was just kind of floored by it all, to be honest with you. I didn't expect any of it. And then to cap off the year, I had kind of, you know, I've been on and off of school. My priority was never school, right? I've never enjoyed school, at least high school, going into college. My career, I thought, was already laid out for me. I didn't see the immediate importance of it, right? And I was like, oh, you know, just, I'm in radio. I'm getting a paycheck for radio. Getting sponsorships, I'm getting endorsements, I'm getting flown all over the country to do this. This is what I'm going to do. And it still is. But I did realize this year, I'm like, man, I got to go back. I got to knock this out. I got to finish school. And I had, I don't know, man, 40 credit hours, 42 credit hours that I needed to do. I mean, I had a lot, you know, a lot. And I was like, you know what, man, let me just soldier up and let me get through it. Let me get these student loans. Let me get some debt and let me make it happen. And this last semester, I took seven courses.
Yeah.
Seven courses. And, you know, I'm happy to say I will toot myself on the back. No, I'll pat myself on the back for that one because I worked real hard at it. And I ended up graduating with I got all A's in my final, I don't know, four semesters, including my summer courses. And, you know, boom, I graduated from the University of Houston with a degree in rhetorical communications, which everyone asks, what does that mean? It means I talk and you listen. Ah, there we go. I need to learn which buttons to hit. Let me do that again. I got a degree in rhetorical communications, which means what? Which means I talk and you listen. It's my line. It's going to be my line forever now. And I graduated summa cum laude, which is the best that you can get, which makes me the boat. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm just going to say that 2019 has been a great year, but expect this from the Brad Gilmore, from the boat. Going into 2020, going into a new decade, I'm going to take over. I'm going to be the man. I'm going to be the myth. I'm going to be the legend. I'm going to be the boat, but I'm going to be bringing new kinds of new content all the time. I'm talking about interviews like you've been getting with celebrities. I already got one lined up, which I'm pretty amped about. My sister's way more amped about it than I am, for obvious reasons, whenever you find out who it is. But more of that, more projects, more content. I'm going to be launching who cares? I'm going to say it. I'm going to be looking into launching my own YouTube channel with my thoughts on MMA, wrestling, boxing, sports of all kind, basketball, which, by the way, the boy also this year, the boat, got credentialed for the Houston Rockets. So I am an official media member for ESPN and the Rockets. And so I'm going to be doing a lot more stuff, man, a lot more content coming through. And like I said, going to WrestleMania, working with Impact Wrestling, which was really dope. I got to call an entire Impact Wrestling pay-per-view, you know, combined with The Row, which is really cool. Working with Kevin and Booker on Growing the Reality of Wrestling this year, going to all these fights, meeting a bunch of celebrities, a bunch of cool people. And you know what? Also celebrating my girlfriend's birthday in the Redneck Riviera, also known as Destin, Florida, and going parasailing for the first time was probably the coolest thing that I did all year. Because I'm 300 feet. I think it was 150 feet. I think this is what they said. Because I remember sitting on the back of this boat. The boat was on a boat. And I'm like, okay, you know. And I'm seeing other people fly around. I'm like, oh, okay, what are they? Like, you know, 30 feet maybe is what I'm thinking. Like, they fly you. I'm like, 30 feet, that's a lot of feet. So I'm assuming that's about how tall we get. And I turned to Farrah. I'm like, hey, I wonder how high these get. And she's like, yeah, probably like 25, 30 feet. I'm like, okay, cool. And then we're in the boat, and the first people in our group go. And they go up pretty damn high. And I turn to the captain, the skipper, and I say, hey, how high do these things go? He goes, oh, you know, about 125, 150 feet up in the air. I'm like, oh. Oh, a little different. But I think that out of everything, that was my coolest moment this year, was being 150 feet up in the air with the woman that I love, looking over, almost feel like you're flying, and, you know, just sharing it with her. So anyway, there's going to be more to come, go, guys. Check out the Hall of Fame on ESPN Radio. Subscribe to the podcast. Give us 5 stars. We're on Monday, Wednesday, Thursdays. Our schedule's changed a couple times. Monday, Wednesday, Thursdays. Make sure you check that out. And check out all of our clips on the Reality Wrestling YouTube channel, which, by the way, we're verified on YouTube. We got the 100,000 subscribers on the march on to 250,000 begins. So go check that out. Subscribe to this channel. Check out me and Frank Janish every single week on the Schmodown Rundown. And that's on video and audio. So subscribe to the audio. Check us out on the Schmodown Entertainment Network, SEN, on YouTube. Shout out to Christian Harloff and all the people over there, SEN. And Back to the Future, the podcast. Got some more stuff. Crispin Glover was on the show this year. I mean, come on. That's dope. Not only was he on this show, he was on Back to the Future, the podcast. It's pretty sweet. So a lot more coming in 2020. New decade, new boat. Let's go. I'm Brad Gilmore, and I'll see you in the next decade.
Oh, Brad, what have you done now?